This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez, the top business stories of the day. We begin with a kind of broad picture story. Malaysia stood out in the corporate deal scene this year, with 2017 seeing more than $20 billion US dollars worth of corporate deals for local companies.
Yeah, so this is according to Duff & Phelps' Transaction Trail report. It includes mergers and acquisitions, private equity, as well as venture capital deals. The total value of these deals really jumped 30% on year, coming in at 20.3 billion US dollars.
Yeah, so that's the highest, okay? Highest since Duff & Phelps began tracking Malaysia back in 2013. So some notable deals that we saw this year, you got Saudi Aramco's investments into Petronas's rapid project down there in Pengerang, Johor. Also, real estate, that was the top sector for domestic M&As. Just think of SP Sertia's acquisition of its sister company, IMP Group, for over 850 million US dollars. So I dare say that, you know, I think PNB was a big catalyst for some of these major corporate deals this year.
Yeah, so let's take a look at the volume then. There were 445 deals in Malaysia last year. Most of them were M&As. Only about 5% came from venture capital investments, with the rest of them from IPOs. But here's what's notable about the local IPO scene. 14 listings this year actually breaks three straight years of declines for listings on the local bourse. Some of the notable IPOs this year: Lotte Chemical back in July, also Eco World International in April. Next year, we're going to have Bank Islam Brunei Darussalam as well, planning to list here in an IPO that could raise as much as 500 million US dollars.
Yeah, and I think today there's another prospectus launch with another IPO slated for early next year as well. So hopefully we can keep that momentum going into 2018.
But we've also had notable listings of Malaysian companies overseas, haven't we?
Again, I think some of the, for example, there are a lot of tech companies that have gone to Australia on the Australian Stock Exchange to list because they get better valuations. A lot of times because they don't have the right track record. So one of the things about doing that with the new LEAP market was really to try to keep those companies in Malaysia itself.
Okay, speaking about bucking the trend, Malaysia's rise is in contrast to the global slowdown.
Yeah, so globally, though, there were over 36,000 transactions valued at over 2.8 trillion US dollars. Now, that's a 9% drop in volume compared to 2016. Also, when it comes to value, it was a 22% on-year decline. So,
yeah.
Slowdown.
Yeah. So, Han, there's also a slowdown in China and Hong Kong. They came up against restrictions on capital outflows. So, to get around that, they turned to Southeast Asia for business opportunities. Think about Geely and the Proton deal. Also, an example of how tighter regulations in China could be pushing deals elsewhere. If you look at what today was reported, that Country Garden Holdings has scrapped their plans to spin off a unit on Shanghai's stock exchange. They cite China's tightened scrutiny of IPOs. Now, so maybe other exchanges in Southeast Asia, including ourselves, may see a pickup in business that China has missed.
Okay. So apart from the M&As and IPOs, it's time to look at the PE or private equity deals that also could get a boost. CIMB Chairman Dato' Sri Nazir Razak confirmed to Bloomberg that he's thinking of setting up a private equity fund.
Yeah, so to the tune of $1 billion US dollars. Well, that's according to the Bloomberg report, although Dato' Sri Nazir declined to confirm that figure. But here's the thing, though. He says he's doing this to fill up his spare time.
Do you think that he meant that ironically? Do you think he actually meant that literally?
Well, I don't know. You read into that what you will, okay? But still, you know,
on Instagram?
Well, he describes himself as a semi-retired banker, you know, so he's got some time. Yeah, what better way to, you know, what better hobby than to set up a $1 billion US dollar PE fund? Because Bloomberg had previously reported it, so, you know, I guess he was just adding some comments to that. Now, this fund, though, if it does happen, it's going to focus on ASEAN, okay? Why ASEAN? Because he says that PE deals here in ASEAN, they have traditionally underperformed versus those in other regions. So that kind of presents him with an exciting opportunity.
Now, he won't be doing this alone. So according to media reports, he'll be joined by a stellar cast of corporate people, including former CIB banker Kenny Kim, former Indonesia Trade Minister Gita Irwan Rijawan, the soon-to-be ex-managing director of Temasek, David Heng, and also the former Philippines Finance Secretary Cesar Purisima.
Whole bunch of dudes with too much spare time, I guess. All former.
Well, I mean, I guess you want high-powered names to be in such a venture.
And can you imagine the deal flow from the names like that? That would be tremendous.
And also, in all seriousness, you know, they are represented in many major countries across ASEAN, right? Indonesia, Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia. So there you go.
So that partnership list, if you look at it, it covers Singapore, Philippines, basically Indonesia. Those key markets.
Okay, now more news of deals coming in. Yesterday we spoke about the offer to buy out Old Town by Dutch coffee company Jacobs Duve Egbert. More recently, there's news of KL Kapung looking to buy a Dutch firm.
Yeah, so Elementis Specialties Netherlands, it's a specialty chemical business with a plant in Delden. It's going to raise them over 187, it cost them over 187 million ringgit. So it's expected to help KLK grow its downstream chemical specialties business in Europe. This will add to the existing European operations in Germany, Belgium, Netherlands and Switzerland.
Okay, speaking about bucking the trend, for 2017, the FBM Kelsia is set to break a three-year losing streak. The benchmark stock index declined more than 12% between the end of 2013 and the end of 2016. This year, Malaysian equities have gained about 4.8%. Question is, can that number go higher in the coming days?
So this is a story in the front of today's Starbiz. According to some dealers, some large cap stocks could see active buying this week. That's because big funds like PNB and EPF should be closing their books soon. PNB will tutup kedai this year on Friday, December 15th, so end of the week. So we'll try and take a look at some of those big boys when the markets open at 9 a.m. today.
Yeah, in just in about 6 minutes or so. Now, onto the EPF, though, there's news that they have just raised their stake in Sapura Energy to about 11.5%. So Sapura Energy's shares, those have fallen or lost more than 50% of its value so far this year. You recall back in the third quarter, they announced that they had a net loss of over 270 million ringgit in the third quarter. So overriding the net profits of about 50 plus million in the first half of this year. So now that it's lost 50% of its value, you know, EPF is going in and lapping up more of those Sapura Energy shares. Perhaps a vote of confidence in the company's future, perhaps indicative of their outlook for the oil and gas sector. We'll see.
Okay, in an attempt to secure our future and our retirement, the EPF says it plans to increase their allocation overseas investments by 2 percentage points, bringing it up to 32% by the end of 2019.
So EPF's Deputy CEO of Investment, Datuk Mohamad Nasir Abdul Latif, said that the allocation of 32% is optimal considering the EPF's investment asset size and also the growth and opportunities available in the domestic capital market, as well as the risk-return profile of overseas assets. The EPF investments currently are diversified across 40 countries, he says, worth over 230 billion ringgit.
All right, so when you talk about overseas investments, we've got to look at America.
America, if you're Indian. America.
America. So EPF's total investment in the States.
That's a clang accent.
Isn't no, it's not. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, EPF's total investment in the States is less than 5% of its total assets. Now, that number could go higher, though, because you recall back in September when Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib went to the States to visit Donald Trump. You know, so he said that at that point in time, EPF had invested about $7 billion U.S. in terms of equity in the U.S. Then on top of that, they plan to invest an extra $3 to $4 billion to support your infrastructure redevelopment. You're being Trump's.
Yeah. Okay. Not mine. With the ringgit strengthening over 8% against the US dollar so far this year, The question is, how's that going to impact the EPF's overseas investments?
Yeah, well, real quick check on the ringgit. Right now it's at just under 4.08 against the US dollar, largely unchanged from yesterday. So at the current valuation of the ringgit, now perhaps it's a good time for institutions such as the EPF, Coop, etc. to make investments abroad. But it's very much contingent on what's all the restrictions that have been imposed on these guys, right? I mean, we had Coop CEO Dato' Wan Kamaruzaman on the Breakfast Grill yesterday. You know, he told us as much. So, you know, they have to try and skirt around that if they want to get those high returns by investing overseas. Likewise, Dato' Nasir of EPF said, you know, in order to mitigate the forex movements, diversification, that's going to be key into various countries and also currencies.
Maybe we can have a quick look at EPF investments and how they fared this year.
Well, so EPF's third quarter investment income is up 5.13%. Second quarter investment income was up more than 36% year on year.
Yep.
And first quarter, nearly 11.8 billion ringgit. So up almost 74% from a year ago. So hopefully that will translate to a higher dividend for EPF members for the entire year.
Yeah, look, because we have seen EPF's dividend rate falling since 2014. Last year was 5.7%, 1 percentage point lower than what we saw in 2014. So hopefully this year, EPF's investments will be kinder to us.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin and then we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.